As you know, Greg, 29 minutes to 10. I respect Carlton enormously, Greg, you know. I've got a great respect for the Carlton Football Club. And their new CEO, Stephen Trigg, has been good enough to join us. And he's brought in the Carlton Football Club's key drivers of success, which is going out to all the members. And we'll have a chat to him about that as well. Stephen Trigg has joined us. G'day, Steve.
KB, good morning.
And of course, the most hated man in football, Greg Venom Denham.
Good morning, Trigg. Look, I've got to start this off by asking you, why would any smart CEO move interstate to a once proud club who's now lost $1.5 million this year, declining membership, won 7 games last year in what was supposed to be a celebration of 150 years of footy? You've got a coach who doesn't really want to be involved with the fans, and your best player is probably playing his last year of footy. What are you doing?
Gee, you're a glass half empty boy, aren't you?
Told you, he's venom.
I think probably the easiest way to answer that is it's a great opportunity. You know, there are a lot of very good things happening around the place, and I could argue the point on some of what you just rolled out there. But the bottom line, Greg, is that no doubt there's plenty of upside with Carlton. And, you know, there are other opportunities for me that had popped up previously. But the Carlton one really grabbed me. You know, big club, big presence, great opportunity. Loved the club when I was a kid, spent a little bit of time here as a 16, 17-year-old. And I mean, that's not really the key decision-making aspect, but it just appealed. And so in the first 3 months, everything that I was hoping it would be, it is, and there is lots of opportunity.
I tried very hard when Greg Swan was in that position to try and boost Carlton's membership to no avail. It is a famous club. I'm always staggered. When I was playing, Richmond versus Carlton was the biggest game in town, the two biggest clubs in the competition. I'm staggered that Carlton's membership has fallen, hasn't been able to keep pace with the likes of Hawthorn or even Richmond's or Collingwood's.
And now Essendon.
And Essendon's membership. I just don't quite understand how Carlton fans no longer support their club by buying memberships.
It's a fair question. I think it's fair to say that the clubs that have built their memberships and their attendances as well, by the way, to the extraordinary numbers that we see at a couple of clubs, you know, depends very heavily, relies very heavily on your authentic connection with your fans. It clearly helps to be winning, but your authentic efforts to have your supporters engaged, communicated with, heard, when you get them to your games to do a really fantastic job of entertaining them and to, again, engage with them. So I think in some of those areas, I'm giving you some insights and you're seeing
key drivers of success.
In that plan in front of you, we spent 3 months working really hard at resetting a whole range of things. And this aspect that you're talking about building the confidence.
Well, you surveyed fans, didn't you, to get to the basically that your new driver of success booklet is 10 main points, and I believe it came about, you surveyed, 3,000 of your members or more?
It's 10 main points, and in behind that is a lot of detail and strategy at team level, department level, as to how we're going to...
And the points...
Greg, just to your point, is we did go to all members, and 2,500+ responses, all passionate, all with something to say. It was fantastic.
And just to summarise briefly, because the points are mainly about strong culture, talent and development, fans, obviously, elite list management, attendances and game day experience, community involvement, and the future, not looking backwards. Out of those, what are the most important now? I mean, I know they're all equally important, but what do they really mean? What's the most important now for 2015?
If you look at point one there, it's about culture and it's about unity. Secondly is our list. And thirdly, and not necessarily in any order, but these particular three, is that meaningful engagement back with supporters.
Okay, well, you had a shocking... 7 wins is not... You can't tolerate that. Obviously, you mentioned it before, win more games next year. Are you confident that you're on the road to recovery?
If we get the basics right, we will be. And one of those basics is reflected in that first point, is that unity is critical. You know, Carlton, without putting too fine a point on it, and, you know, I've watched it from afar, and now anecdotally and the stories that are told, it's quite clear that Carlton, it's called a spade, has torn at itself for a long time. Many anecdotes about the way that it's It's torn, in some cases, just about torn itself to shreds. And that, there's one thing I know in footy after all these years is that you must have unity at board, you must have unity at your management level, and you must have complete congruence and alignment between the two of them. And then you can tip into that just for good measure, your coaching group and players as well, of course. But at the top level, you just have to have that unity. And, you know, it's easy for me to say, actions speak louder than words here, but from the minute I've walked in, I've sensed a real deep-seated desire at board and management level to get that part right. And, you know, Mark Lajutice, as president, is working his backside off in terms of good governance, in terms of board alignment with management. And I do feel that the basics of that are getting right. You know, if we get that stability, that unity, we can engage our supporters with it and take them with us on it. Greg, in a lot of ways, the list management part's quite, I wouldn't say it's easy, but it's relatively straightforward in terms of setting it up. The really hard part now comes, and in fact comes with all of this, is actually bringing it to life, making it happen. You know, we're really clear what we're going to do with our list, but bring it to life now with some real discipline is the key.
Stephen Triggers, joined as CEO of the Carlton Football Club. Stephen, you've got a great coach in Mick Malthouse. In fact, he's going to be the longest serving coach in the history of the game. You talk about being fan friendly. A lot of people think that Mick is not fan friendly. He's certainly not media friendly, and we've seen during the year a lot of conversations with, say, Mark Stevens. Has there been a directive from the club, you know, for Mick to maybe lighten up a little bit at media conferences and be maybe more fan friendly so that even Carlton supporters can love Mick Malthouse?
KB, I think if you just reflected for a moment, in recent weeks, maybe last couple of months, you've probably seen a little bit of that lightening up.
We've heard him on SEN and it does appear.
We've seen it before, though, Drew.
But it does appear.
Yeah, we're not in combat mode.
So there has been a bit of a directive to say, listen, we're in a new era and, you know, it's a new building of the Carlton Football Club. We need your support in this area.
Mick's the first one. I think he publicly recently said that it hasn't been ideal at times. But, you know,
you can't have a coach that says, hang on, Drew, you can't have a coach to come out, doesn't matter what he's doing, but when he's trying to bring the club up and bring fans back, to say that if I wasn't coaching footy now, being a coach, I'd hate the game. I mean, that turned off 2,000 members last year.
Well, what I would say about it is that to all Carlton people, all those who come to the microphone, all those who come to have an opportunity to speak with, connect with our people, must take that opportunity and do it well. Mick knows it. The president knows it. The head of footy knows it. The captain knows it. And I can assure you the CEO knows it. So I think it's an area, let's take the focus away from Mick just for a second. I think it's an area that Carlton can do better right across the board. And I actually think, you know, again, we haven't gone into combat, but hopefully Carlton supporters have seen in recent times a better effort in that area.
On 11:16 SEN, Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Holden, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
17 minutes to 10 also coming up. Carl Delina is going to join us, the CEO of North Melbourne, after 10 o'clock. Get something off your chest. 3 for KB. Nigel Purchase back from the States. And the buzz, Johnny Ralph, with his famous 3 stings as well. Stephen Triggers joined us, our special guest, along with Greg Venom Denham. Just before we went to the break, I mentioned Stephen Silvani. What's his future at Carlton?
Well, I'm not sure about that. It's certainly a possibility, KB, because for some time we've been assessing our needs in terms of the way we've resourced and should resource our list management area, what we do in terms of strategy, data, the people involved and our ability to be able to really do it off the top shelf, if you like, in terms of the way that we manage our list and understand what's going on in the rest of the competition. So we've been working at that really hard. We've interviewed a really good number of people. It's a little bit tricky to do that when you're leading up to draft periods, trade periods. So we've had to proceed, you know, what's the term, hasten with caution. And I would think in the next couple of weeks you'll see us make a move in that regard.
So the bloke that's not sure that certain, to rejoin you, what's the title? List manager or more than that? Or because I'm pretty sure that he's severed his ties now with GWS.
Well, whatever the title is, it's looking after all, you know, it's responding to the list management team, the committee's strategy in terms of list retention, development, and all that goes with it, and looking after every aspect of our list, including contracting.
So what happens to Shane Rogers? I think he's in a three-year contract. Is that correct?
National recruiting manager, one of the most important people in our place.
Stays?
Absolutely.
Okay, so they'll work in tandem.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that can only benefit you. If you're looking for something that you think was a big failing, and I think like not long after you joined, you looked at the Carlton list and thought, my God. So those two people are going to pretty much, with Andrew McKay, I imagine, are going to be the salvation of
clubs.
The clubs
set it up, you know, around the competition slightly differently, but I've got a really clear line of sight. I think the club that I came from, you know, for better or worse, and conscious of looking back rather than forward just for a second, had the list management structure, processes, data at a level that, you know, is...
You thought it was very professional.
Very, very... It's outstanding.
Yep.
And so there is a gap for Carlton at the moment, and we're going to fill the gap.
Mm. Was that something financial that just... It wasn't addressed because there was no money?
I'm not sure it's about that, Greg. I think it was more just about, beliefs in the way that we go about it.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question about Patrick Dangerfield? There's talk today, obviously, and there's always talk that Geelong are keen to get Patrick Dangerfield. Catch Chief Executive Brian Cook said yesterday the Dangerfields were brought to the function without Geelong's knowledge. Now, that was when they played Adelaide down, might have been the opening game of the season.
He doesn't tell fibs, Cookie.
And I would have thought, as the CEO then of the Crows, you would have been at that function. Were you at that function, the opening game?
I was at the next table.
Next table. How surprised were you when the Dangerfield parents were introduced to the Geelong fans?
Got a little bit frosty with Cookie for a moment. I think the explanation went something like Patrick's girlfriend's parents, ex-mayor of Geelong, and that's where the invitation came from. But, you know, just to have a bit of fun with Brian, I'm not exactly sure where that particular... PDF originated, whether it came from Cadinia Park or not. But anyway, regardless, if I was at Adelaide, I would be confident, but more than a little concerned. Confident because Patrick's very loyal and he enjoys Adelaide. Adelaide's good for him and he's good for Adelaide. But a little concerned. And I think it's fair, they'd be equally concerned about Sloan, by the way.
Hmm.
But I think it's fair in the Sloan and Dangerfield case, despite what Walker's just done in recommitting, that they would stop and have a look. Brand new CEO, brand new coach, different regime. You would have a look, wouldn't you, for a little while? If I was the player manager, I would probably say, let's just get a feel for this first. Mm. So I would be, if I was Adelaide, I'd be confident but concerned.
Now, as CEO of Carlton, and Carlton wants to win premierships too, would you be interested? Of course you'd be interested, but would you come the end of the season in a position to... have a crack at getting Dangerfield to the Carlton side?
In the not too distant future, we'd be in a position to have a really decent crack at a marquee player, whatever his name was. But
are you a bit chock-a-block because of Dale Thomas?
Well, no, don't put it at Dale's feet. That's a pretty sharp. one player doesn't create that tightness. But it's tight. Look, at the moment, it's very tight. There's no doubt, and the few issues at hand there. But it actually compels us. Carlton supporters should understand this. It actually compels us to do what we have to do, and that is take youth, develop youth, and build from the bottom up. Because the Carlton list has really significant needs. It has to be rebuilt from the ground up. And Greg, a lot of people in that survey said to me, we're sick of the quick fix. We're sick of trying to get a sugar hit here to do that. So maybe in due course, yes, we'll have the capacity to pick off a free agent or two, and that's part of the strategy. But right here and now, it compels us to take youth, develop it. Now, we've been very mindful for Carlton supporters about not making it so youthful that we're vulnerable. Mm. And hence, you've seen a very clear strategy of 20, 21-year-olds that have got a few kilometres under their belts. We think there's lots of upside with them, both in what we traded and we drafted in. And, it's December, but we're feeling really confident about what we've done.
Does it need, you're new to the Blues, and obviously Blues fans they fluke playing in the final series year before this. Does it take having to play finals to say that you've achieved early, or you mentioned the long term there, that not the quick fix. So if you ran ninth, for example, next year, you won 10 games, but you really played well and gave fans value for money, Would that be a satisfying year? I'm not putting a definite figure on it, but you know where I'm coming from.
We should always, and every club will say this, but it's genuine, we should always pitch to play at the finals. We haven't stripped the side out. If we were really had decided on a strategy that was, forget it, we're just going to completely rebuild this whole thing.
On a seven-year plan.
Yeah, we would have dealt with Carrazzo, Simpson, Judd, wouldn't have allowed Judd to go on, etc. We've kept some core strength in the side, and we've supplemented it, but we do have to develop the youth. Now, the logical thing that people ask then is, you know, can you play finals? Now, we'll aim to play finals. The thing I'd like Carlton supporters to go with us on is continuous improvement, whether that's with the development of the list, the ladder position, whichever way you want to measure it. We just have to get some continuous improvement into the Carlton Footy Club.
We're taking a break. Stephen Triggers, join us 9429 1116 if you want to jump online. If you're a Carlton fan, you want to have a couple of words to Stephen Trigg. Stephen can tell you about the new booklet you'll receive if you're a member of Carlton Football Club's Key Drivers of Success. We are the Navy Blues, one club, one tribe.
On 1116 SEN, Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Aldi Penfold Burwood, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
And of course, if you want to celebrate with Greg Venom Denham, all you have to do is go down to the Spiritical Hotel, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond on the corner of Coppin Street. Don't forget, they've got the special everyday menu there. Of course, it's backed by popular demand and still got the creamy mashed potato. It's still on the menu as well. Don't forget, full of Christmas spirit down there at the Spiritical Hotel. So drop in 94286895. Stephen Trigg has joined us, the Carlton CEO. Josh has joined us from Sunbury. G'day, Josh.
G'day, boys. How's it going?
Good.
Just to talk about Carlton, now I'm a passionate Carlton supporter. I've been a paid up member for the last 16 years. Already paid my membership for this year. The thing is, which I heard Greg say last year wasn't a great year for only 7 wins, but I saw a lot more positivity in the way we played last year than I have for 15 years. My question to Stephen is, with players like Dylan Biojo Rainbow and Boakhurst and Clem Smith, are they going to be pushed in the side straight away? Are they going to be giving time in the VFL to build up and then be put in the senior side?
So, Josh, that'll be entirely up to them in terms of how ready they are. We've done an exercise already at what we think our best side would look like, our ideal side, injury-free 15, 16 and 17 as part of our, you know, working through our strategies as to where the gaps might be and where we need to keep working on both development and supplementing the list from outside. We think, in short answer to your question, that at least a couple of those guys can slot straight into the side next year, potentially Boakhurst, certainly Tutt. So, you know, I'm pleased with your point about some positive signs last year, because whilst I joined the club late in the season, and the Port Adelaide experience wasn't a good one, in almost every other way, the way that the club finished was a really positive, really positive signs about the way that we were playing. So hopefully it's a good springboard for next year.
Let's go to Kathy, who joins us from Pasco Vale. G'day, Kath.
Good morning, boys. Stephen, the survey. You said in the paper that you had surveyed members. You got 2,000 replies back. I rang the club to get a copy of the survey. Now, there are a lot of members out there that are do not have access to computers. We hear absolutely nothing. And besides the club, 40,000 members, why is there only 2,000 replying?
It's often a case of only getting a certain number of percentages to any survey that anybody does anywhere. But I think the perhaps more important point that you're making there is, and it was pointed out, and it's an easy one for a new CEO, so I can say to you that I'm going to try and fix it, and we will, is that it was pointed out to me fairly early in the piece that we do have, a really reasonably significant older demographic out there as well that don't have access to computers and therefore the input that you're still seeking. So we do need, Kathy, to find better ways to be able to land those sorts of questionnaires or get that sort of input from out there. No doubt about it.
This is one of the things, when Greg Swan was in your position, used to talk about Carlton fans getting involved with the club, you know. So you have an opportunity to have a survey. It's up to members to get involved. I mean, it's no good whinging and whining and jumping up and down when you get an opportunity from a club to say, well, you know, We're going to open up to you. Tell us what you want. Tell us what we're doing right. Tell us what you're doing wrong. And if you get 2,000 or 3,000 people, as Kathy says, you might have 40,000 members. Well, you know, really, you'd like to get 40,000 members giving you some sort of input.
Sure, but yeah. I think you get you are able to get a really, you know, statistically, you can get a good handle on what people are thinking from 5% of your respondents.
Surely members are going to be happy too. I notice you got one more game at the MCG this year, which comes off obviously from Etihad. You know a lot about stadiums. You did most of the early forecasting for the Adelaide Oval for your previous club. What do you see? Have we got enough stadiums in Melbourne at the moment? Do we need a boutique stadium that Collingwood's talking about? You know, what are your thoughts on that?
It's a really long bridge for Collingwood to build, to get themselves to a self-funded and self-managed stadium. But that's their business. One of the things that became really clear really quickly from our fans is that they wanted to have Etihad and the MCG feel more like it's our patch when it's our home game. And it's interesting, I hadn't thought about it that way because, coming the other way, Adelaideans get on trains and buses and so forth and come over to Melbourne because they love the Etihad experience. But Carlton fans have sort of said, well, we'd love it, but we really want it to feel more like it's our patch. And I think you guys will have seen across the competition at the moment, the AFL are certainly pushing this, and it's quite in sync with what we need to do as a club, is better fan experience at the game, making it feel more like it's our home patch, etc., etc. So that's part of that plan and part of what we do. KB, you've mentioned a couple of times about the fact that that booklet's with people. It actually went as soft copy to them. They can download it off the website if they want to, but I'd encourage everyone to have a look at it because it's got some good content.
Kevin will read it.
Key drivers of success. I'll read it, all right. Don't worry about that, Greg. We are the Navy Blues, and of course they play Richmond in the opening game, and you'll see a fantastic crowd turn up on that day.
It's a privilege.
Of course, Carlton's taking all the money. Of course, they've dudded the Tigers this year. Pulled out on the Tigers where we used to share the gate.
It's the start of doing what's best for Carlton. That's what it's all about.
What's best for the Tigers is what we want. Oh. Steve, good luck.
Cheers,
good
on you guys. Cheers, boys.